mine and yours. And you don't want no pressure, what but a backup and withdraw. Cause trust me when I tell you, you don't want that you can claw. And you don't want to see inside of my...
Chapter 15. Three forms, Shirong thought with great satisfaction, inhaling his morning cup of tea. Three trained earthbenders. Not experienced, but they've had years of training. And Lee took them out with three forms that he learned in a week. Well, three waterbending forms. What he'd seen from the rooftop hinted at something else as well. Which was why he was sitting in this particular tea shop, out of uniform, waiting for one of its employees to take a well-deserved break. Not what I would have expected at all, Shirong amused, sipping the last of his drink. But it makes sense. I would have said it was impossible, but they're obviously here. Though, if I'm right, well, there's a kettle full of eel catfish indeed. Ah, Pao was stalking out to the front, which meant his target was safely out the back. Paying, the Dai Li agent disappeared into the crowd, slipped up and out of sight up a few handy walls, and descended again behind the tea shop. Mushi, he somehow wasn't surprised to note, didn't turn a hair. Good morning, the elderly gentleman said, gracious. So it is, Shirong agreed. I believe my nephew has described you well, Mushi noted. Though I could always be mistaken. Well, well, that's where Lee gets it, Shirong thought, amused. Not that the young waterbender could do subtle, not with his temper, but at least he could see why Lee recognized it. Since I know Pao's as stingy with his breaks as everything else, I admit, when Lee borrowed that scroll, I expected him to be diligent in practice. I never expected what I saw last night from someone with no experience bending. He paused, deliberately. Or should I say, someone with no experience with bending forms? Mushi raised an eyebrow. Forgive the impatience of the young, Shirong said sardonically. But how did two colonials get all the way to Ba Sing Se? Very carefully, Mushi smiled. Though it is not as unlikely as you seem to believe. Lee and I left those territories many years ago, for reasons you can likely guess, he added dryly. Is his style that distinctive? Probably not to most people, Shirong said candidly. I've seen a fair number of waterbenders. They wait for you to come at them. Lee goes right down an enemy's throat. He raised an eyebrow right back at the older man. Effectively, too. I imagine he had a very good teacher. You are not a harmless old man, and we both know it. Which makes me wonder why you're taking such pains to look like one. Mushi regarded him for what felt like ages, and finally sighed. I have heard stories of the Dai Li, as you can imagine. But I have also heard my nephew's account of you, and I believe you do not wish him harm. Though, if that is so, the events of last night bear a bit of explanation. On the one hand, the Dai Li didn't have to explain themselves to anyone. On the other, he's fought spirits too. Lee had things under control, Shirong said bluntly, or close enough. Though I was actually watching to see what Mean would do with the rabid little upper-class boys he's managed to show up. Our nobles are a bit touchy about deference and proper place. Not that they'd ever stoop to be Dai Li, but spirits forbid a refugee's son should have the strength to qualify. He hesitated and tried to look as if he weren't. Ask, you'll never get a better chance. Is it true that generals in the Fire Nation aren't nobles? Yes and no, Mushi said levelly. Most in high ranks are powerful firebenders, and most of those are of noble blood. But not all. Tactical gifts and the ability to bend are not always found in the same person. He smiled. I begin to see why my nephew has allowed you so close. You are both curious of how things might be. If you had been born different people, and there was no war, or rumors of war... Nice save. I'm curious as to how Lee was born who he is, Shirong said pointedly. Lee's mother concealed her heritage. Mushi shrugged. I learned of her healing by accident. Lee was a difficult birth, but she was my beloved sister-in-law, and I would not betray her. Shirong's eyes narrowed, thinking of that scar. But someone figured it out. No, I do not believe so. Amusement flickered in Mushi's gaze. Lee is a poor liar, but good at keeping secrets. He sighed. No, what you think of was dealt not because he was a waterbender, but because he has a heart. He shrugged slightly. I have traveled much in my life. This time, we simply traveled further. I see where Lee gets his knack of understatement, Shirong said dryly. You realize you both could be arrested as spies. We could, Mushi acknowledged. I can only assure you that we are not. We are, indeed, what we seem. Two refugees fleeing what lies outside, Ba Sing say. And with that, he was silent, waiting. Like Lee, he knows when to stop talking. Who are you, really? But it wasn't quite time to press that question. Not yet. You're an interesting man, Mushi, Shirong stated. We'll have to talk again sometime. Mushi inclined his head graciously. I hope you enjoyed your tea. I will ask Pao if he wishes to introduce more varieties of oolong. Meaning not only had Mushi seen him in the shop, Shirong considered, as he slipped back out of sight, but he'd matched teas to faces. A useful habit for any shopkeeper. Or spy. But they're not spies. No one would make someone as visible as Lee an agent. Mushi, though? Damn. A traveler, a colonial who knows how to fight but can also blend in, who knew Lee's mother was a waterbender and kept quiet. It makes sense. A lot of sense. So, a possible spy in a position to teach, and a nephew quietly, obviously devoted to him. Bets Lee was meant to follow in the family trade, anyone? Settling into an out-of-the-way corner of rooftop, Shirong leaned back for some serious thought. On the one hand, this was good news. Lee wasn't just a fair catch, he was an excellent catch. Already primed and prepared for the hard choices and impossible situations an agent found himself dumped into without warning. On the other... I don't think I'll tell Quan where Lee's from. Yet. Dai Li mind-bending didn't quite work on those with Fire Nation ancestry. Not the way it should. You could brainwash them, yes. It took longer. A lot longer. But it could be done. You could implant false memories, take over their will. But if any command pitted them against their loyalties, they just broke. If they didn't drop dead on the spot, they'd be dead within days. Always. We can trust Lee, or we can kill him. No middle ground. Which wasn't necessarily enough to disqualify the boy as a candidate. Historically, a few people had ended up in the Dai Li specifically because they wouldn't bend under ordinary treatment. And in almost every case, if you could trace their ancestry back far enough, well... Don't even joke about it, indeed. Shirong chuckled, recalling Lee's quietly frantic attempt to deflect him away from any thought of Fire Nation heritage. One of these days, I have to see you in a topknot. Someday after he told Quan the truth. Though how to frame that was going to be tricky. Quan was practical enough to take in a waterbender, colonial or not. Long Feng, though... He is our leader. But Avatar Kyoshi created us to serve the city, not one man. A thought Shirong wasn't entirely comfortable with, no matter how true it was. Lungfeng had earned his right to power. He'd fought for them all, almost 2 decades ago, forcing back one of the darkest hordes of spirits ever to swarm within the walls. Shirong himself still carried scars from those horrible nights. Amaya had helped as many as she could, but she'd had to reserve her power for the most critically injured by fangs and claws and leech mouths that drained chi away like blood. The agent winced as memory roused some of those wounds to aching. There were reasons he wasn't married. Jagged blue scars, obviously not made by ordinary teeth and claws, tended to make potential lovers uneasy. No. There was no question in his mind that Lungfeng deserved his position. But the man sometimes seemed to focus purely on Ba Sing Se, as if the war truly did not exist. Witness their current confinement of the Avatar Sky Bison. If Lungfeng were so concerned about the Avatar's effect on the Earth King, wouldn't it make more sense to send the beast away and get rid of all the trouble in one fell swoop? I'm just an agent. I don't know what our generals are planning. Surely they have a good reason. And Shirong wasn't inclined to second-guess the judgment of the man who'd fought to save all their lives. That horrible moon-dark night. Compared to that, General Iroh's later siege had been a model of peace and harmony with the spirits. For a bloodthirsty firebender, he fought cleanly. I wonder what happened to him after he broke the siege. Nothing good, most likely, given Lord Azulon had apparently named Ozai to follow him instead. And the officers under Fire Lord Ozai didn't fight cleanly. That poor girl, Shirong murmured, thinking of Lee's reluctant confession. The waterbender might not have given the gory details, but he could fill those in for himself, unfortunately. Such things had happened once or twice during the siege, but no more than that. Prince Iroh's response to outrages on civilians had always been swift, just, and ruthless. No plague spirit spread in his wake. Just fire, blood, and ash, Shirong thought darkly. Half the world they've conquered, and they just won't stop. Spirits, I hate them. Yet he'd found hate was a very two-edged sword. He'd hated the Fire Nation so much and so deeply, mourning his people's losses, that he'd been driven to understand them, all the better to destroy them, if he had the chance. He'd studied, delved into archives, attended interrogations of the very few firebenders captured alive. And one dusty afternoon in the university library had shaken him down to his bones. Honor, duty, benevolence, respect, courage, honesty, righteousness. The founding principles of the Fire Nation, according to the writings left by Avatar Kyoshi herself. It didn't change anything. He still hated them, still intended to keep their army from disturbing the hard-won peace of Ba Sing Se by any means necessary. Yet deep within the hate, there was something. He didn't know what to call it, but it felt oddly sad. A colonial waterbender is truer to their principles than their own soldiers. Shirong snorted at the irony. Not that that will be a good argument to use on Quan. But Quan wasn't the real problem. Quan hated the Fire Nation as well. Lungfeng? I've seen him interrogate prisoners. He doesn't hate them. He despises them. And something about that made Shirong very uneasy. Focus, Shirong told himself. You've been given time to recruit Lee. Use it. Let what he can do make his case for him. In the meantime, he had work to do. There might not be plague on the docks, but rumors like that didn't get started without something behind them. He hadn't found out what. Yet. Time to go hunting. Suyin tasted dusty futon again and groaned. I promised myself I wouldn't stare. I promised. Yet she had, again, and Lee had used her distraction, again, to turn what should have been a simple block and dodge into another embarrassing defeat. And that didn't even begin to cover Jinhai's wildly flickering leaves and random bursts of sparks. Lee sighed and let her up. All right, both of you stop. It's obvious neither of you can focus today. But his tone wasn't mean or even exasperated, Suyin noticed. Relieved. Just patient. Is this about last night? Lee raised that lone brow, eyeing them. From his corner, his father set down his notes and politely cleared his throat. I can understand your uncle not wanting to get into details with the Dai Li in the vicinity, but my nephew has reason to study with Master Amaya leaves quite a few questions unanswered. Lee took a deep breath and let it sigh out. Spirits like to mess with me. You're joking. But Tingcha didn't sound sure of himself. I wish, Lee muttered, raised a hand near his scar just for a moment. When this happened, Master Amaya thinks it burned most of the water out of my spirit. So later, when she helped hide us, I drowned. Knuckles whitened before Lee forced fingers straight. After that, water just started moving when I got upset. He dredged up a weak smile. You should have seen Uncle's face. I can only imagine, Tingcha murmured, dazed. Can I learn to freeze jerks too? Jinhai said eagerly. Ice is waterbending, Suyin reminded him. I know Lee said he could move fire and other things, even water. No, you were napping. What? Lee was smiling at her, really, truly smiling. Jinhai, your sister's a genius. She is? Jinhai said doubtfully. I am? Suyin echoed. Let me get a pot, Lee said in a rush, and dashed upstairs, and came back almost before the three of them had time to blink at each other, one of Maesyang's larger metal pots half filled with water. If you're out in plain view, you're going to need a fire to keep people from getting suspicious. But down here we can cheat. Jinhai, hands on the pot. Breathe, but hard, not sharp. Push the fire inside out from your hands. We want heat, not flames. Jinhai frowned in concentration, and the first tiny bubbles stirred the water, wisps of steam starting to rise. Good. Keep it up. And remember how this feels, Lee directed. If you ever end up falling through ice, this is something that can save your life. He frowned. There's a couple other techniques you should know for that, but you need a lot more control of your fire before you start those. He shrugged. This, by itself, you can use all kinds of ways, and most people never see it coming. Can you tell me why? Jinhai chewed his lip and shook his head. Think about it. Lee looked over at both of them. What's the difference between this and the other moves I've showed you? Moves? Suyin thought, confused. Jinhai's not moving. Exactly. Lee glanced at her father, dead serious. This is one of the differences between fire and earth. Earthbending, you have to move. Firebending, your chi has to move. Which means if you know what you're doing, if you can breathe, you can bend. You charred the tiles to break them, Tingcha realized. They couldn't see my hands, Lee said matter-of-factly. Once I had enough room to call water up, they were toast. He looked straight at Suyin. Breath moves your chi. Maybe you can't burn tiles, but if you're trained enough, I know you could break them. And I don't care how strong a bender is. If you can surprise them, you've got a chance. Suyin swallowed hard, warmed and shaken all at once. Is this why the Fire Nation keeps winning? She asked in a small voice. They just keep going. Keep fighting. I'm sorry, she wanted to say, as so many eyes looked at her. I don't want to hurt any of you. I don't know why I hurt. I just do. Yet Lee didn't look angry, just sad and determined, as he reached into his sleeve and took out a sheathed dagger. It's pretty, Suyin thought, past the ache in her heart, taking in Mother of Pearl inlay, the water steel revealed when Lee unsheathed the blade. Never give up without a fight. Uncle says you have to draw wisdom from every nation, Lee said, holding the blade so she could read it clearly. He sent this to me before the worst days of my life. Silent, he turned the dagger. Made in the Earth Kingdom. If it wasn't for this, I wouldn't have made it this far. Sheathing the blade, Lee made it vanish again, and looked at them both soberly. You should be proud of your people. All of your people. Your uncle is a very unusual man, Tinkja said thoughtfully. A faint smile touched Lee's face. Yeah, I guess he is. He reached out to the pot and nodded. That's hot enough. Jinhai, watch. Lee breathed out and scooped. A globe of steaming water shimmered in his palm. Waterbending, Tinkja began. No, Lee shook his head. Firebending. Suyin's jaw dropped. But if he can... Oh, spirits! Really? Jinhai breathed. Really, Lee stated. That's the move you use to grab a handful of fire. There's fire in hot water. Move that, and you can move the water with it, if it's hot enough. You can teach Jinhai to look like a waterbender, Suyin blurted out, stunned. You can. He could use this in plain sight. Didn't I tell you you were a genius? Lee smirked at her, glanced at her father. I can't teach him everything with hot water. It's a lot harder than fire. And if he runs into a real waterbender, they'll figure out something's up. But right now, the only waterbenders you've got to worry about are me and Amaya, so... He grinned at them all. Who feels like getting out of this cellar? Jinhai's cheer shook dust from the rafters. Were you scared? Zuko glanced at Suyin as they watched Jinhai toss a ball of hot water, giggling. When water started pulling at me... He guessed. Suyin nodded. I was thinking about it. I know bending's important to me and Gia and Dad, and probably you and Jinhai too. But if the world started changing on me, I know I'd be upset. And I thought, maybe... She shrugged, shy. Jinhai's very lucky, Zuko said quietly. I wish I'd had a sister like you. The world fell out from under me. I didn't know what to do, what to be. He breathed out, slowly. But it's not the first time things fell apart, so I kept going. It was bad, Suyin said, plainly. After the Agni Kai. Wordless, Zuko nodded, reaching back and uncapped his water skin, drawing out a thin stream to wrap around his fingers. At least getting better this time is a lot more fun. Slowly, she smiled. But I wasn't scared, exactly, Zuko shrugged. I would have been. I was just tired. He grimaced. That happens in combat, too. You don't just get hurt and exhausted. Your spirit gets tired. Uncle says you shouldn't keep soldiers on the front for more than a month, if you can. People need rest. They need to be safe. Why are you telling me about soldiers? Suyin asked, voice hushed. I'll try to be gentle, Uncle. I just don't know what will be enough. Because you're good, Suyin, Zuko said honestly, streaming water back into his water skin. You pay attention. You ask questions. And you don't just practice until you get it right. You go over moves you've already learned to see if you can make them better. You're good. If you keep it up, you're going to be very good. Dark green eyes widened. I don't want to be a soldier. Spirits aren't big on what we want. But you want to protect Jinhai, Zuko pointed out. I know what that's like. He's your family. You want to keep him safe. Uncle says you're one of us. I believe him. I'm telling you this in case, Suyin. In case something goes wrong. In case everything goes wrong. If something happens and you end up outside Ba Sing Se, don't let anyone tell you girls shouldn't fight. Just say you had relatives from Kyoshi Island. He's your little brother, and they can go to Cole's lair in a handbasket. Suyin stared at him. Zuko reddened a little. Okay, not the most polite way to say it, but maybe she'll remember it. And if she yelled that at some over a fish's guard, he might stay stunned long enough for her to grab a weapon and deal with the problem herself. Try again. Suyin, I'm telling you because I know you'll fight, so you need to know how to take care of yourself. Not just during the fight, before it and after. After is hard. Zuko swallowed dryly. It's not like the plays and hero stories. You feel awful. You're alive and you're glad you're alive, and that feels awful because someone else isn't. Suyin paled, fists clenching. I'm telling you because you love them. Zuko tried to keep his voice quiet, gentle. When we love people, we throw ourselves between them and the fireball. We don't even think about it. He took one of her hands, warming the chilled fist between his fingers. Your mother knows what that's like. Talk to her. Suyin gulped. She's a professor's wife. She's your mother. Never mess with a mom. They bite back. He backed off a step, considering his options. Just talk to her. I've always been in the middle of trouble. She probably has better ideas. Suyin nodded, obviously thinking it over. So what do we do now? Zuko saw Jinhai's globe start to wobble into a puddle and strode over to heat it again with a touch. Now we figure out how to breathe with hot water. Jinhai stuck out his tongue, but grinned and sat down with a dramatic sigh. Smart kid. And breathe in, Amaya directed, water-wreathed hand pressed against scarred skin, feeling Mushi's watchful eye, the strength of the moon rising outside the apartment with sunset, the steady pulse of chi beneath her touch. Not as swift or as strong a flow as it should be in whole flesh. But he's a fighter. He may be rough at the edges, but he'll survive. Better, he's thriving. Satisfied, she took her hand away, letting water flow back into a basin. I think we're done. Gingerly, Zuko touched the edge of seared skin and tried not to look disappointed. I thought... Never mind. I'm a healer, not a spirit, Amaya said plainly. And where it matters most, there is improvement, Mushi stated, holding up a finger in front of his nephew's eyes. Follow. Amaya stepped back as the gray-haired firebender guided his nephew through a test Yoguda herself might have used to check peripheral vision, and smiled. Very good, Mushi nodded at last. The surface remains, but all else has improved. Zuko braced himself and nodded. Thank you. You do mean that, but it still hurts. Amaya sighed and touched her student's shoulder, waiting until he reluctantly met her gaze. In the water tribes, a scar is not a mark of shame. It is worn with honor and respect. It means you survived. It wasn't worth his time to kill a failure, Zuko muttered. Amaya kept herself from flinching, even as she saw Mushi rein in his sorrow. The burn had been dealt by a firebender he trusted. He is not a child, Amaya reminded herself. He's slighter than many of your tribesmen. He'll never have a spearman's build, but he's of age to prove himself in war. He has, from his uncle's account. Forgive me. I forget, sometimes, that you're not just another healer. You're a blooded warrior, and a warrior doesn't need sympathy for a scar that failed to slay him. Green Eyes snapped to hers, startled, and beyond the shock, calculating. So very alike. How much of that is blood, and how much training? Age made a difference. Mushi's gratitude was a quiet light in his eyes, while Zuko stood straighter. So, I'll go see about that duck, Zuko said in a rush, out the door almost before he finished. I'm half surprised he remembered to bring water, Amaya murmured wryly. My nephew is always mindful of his weapons, Mushi nodded, and smiled at her. It is hard to raise a young man sometimes. Those we traveled with were all older men, confident in their skills. And your nephew's been on the losing side of battles with children. Amaya sighed, absently spiraling water up out of the basin with a fingertip. I've known young warriors. It speaks well of both of you that he's not bitter. Avatar or not, it can't have been easy seeing your people brushed aside like leaves by a 12-year-old boy. She gave Mushi a searching glance. He inclined his head, but not without a twinkle of humor. One day I hope to tell you everything. But for now, yes, it has been difficult. The more so because I did not realize, at first, that my nephew believed he should have been able to turn the tide. It is, after all, what his father claimed he expected. Amaya stepped back a bit, absently tossing the water between her hands as she considered that deliberate opening, and how best to use it. I meant what I said. A warrior doesn't need sympathy. He needs revenge. Mushi folded his hands, careful to make no sudden movements. That would be difficult. I myself do not think I could raise a hand against my own brother, and I am not loyal to him. Lee would be in a far more perilous position. There are more ways to take revenge than just killing a man, Amaya said levelly. Sometimes I think my tribe invented most of them. It's a pity you weren't born one of us. Our chief would never have known what hit him. She raised a brow at her fellow teacher. I imagine your plan to create a sanctuary is going to be a fine revenge on someone. Spirits, the Dai Li, the Fire Lord himself, for all I know, all of the above. I'd never accuse you of thinking small. Mushi was eyeing her with a delightfully wary respect. You help those in need, even the Fire Nation. I help people who happen to be of the Fire Nation, Amaya corrected. I save lives where I can, and destroying the Fire Nation would be no more right than destroying the Air Nomads was. But even though my tribe wouldn't teach me to wage war, I will fight to defend my people. She gave him a piercing look. Or is Lee not Water Tribe after all? Lee, maybe, but my nephew. They're the same. Amaya streamed water back into the basin, recalling his description of dragons she could sense but not see. He is my student as well. It's good that he has an uncle. I'm glad that he has you. But water depends on community. No one in my tribe would ever leave a young waterbender with so little family. It's just not right. Frowning, Mushi lifted a hand to speak, then stopped, and looked aside, let something fall from his sleeve, and regarded the lotus tile in his palm before tucking it away. You came from one of the smaller villages, not the North Pole itself. I went there to train before I left, Amaya acknowledged, startled. How did you know? The main chiefdoms, both north and south, do not consider uncles so important. They trace inheritance through the father's line. It is the smaller villages who look not for a father, but a mother's brother. He smiled. I would have been honored to be Ursa's brother. The smile stayed, but green eyes were deadly serious. "You believe it is blood feud, then?" "Don't you?" she said bluntly. "The Fire Lord won't take the creation of this sanctuary lightly."
"He will not." Something hardened in Mushi's gaze. "But I have reason to believe he will have more strategically critical matters to attend to."
"He means that." Amaya shook her head. "If we are forced to leave Ba Sing Se, will you tell me who you are?"
"If that should come to pass, I will tell you before we leave," Mushi said quietly. "The risks are great, and would be far greater to you if we accepted your offer of kinship."
He sighed.
"I am glad you did not ask Li directly. To protect you, he would refuse, and he would not be kind."
"Did he do that to you?" Amaya pounced.
"For years," Mushi said dryly. "I think I have finally convinced him that he cannot be rid of me so easily. He has been far better behaved of late."
A slight shrug.
"Though in part that may be due to our encounter with his sister. It is one thing to drive away one you love, to protect them. It is quite another to have them nearly taken from you, and fight desperately to keep them."
Which explained a great deal. But not, of course, everything. "If I ever find out you're keeping secrets just to keep me wondering, you old fox, you're going to find yourself treating frostbite," Amaya decided. Blinking innocently at her, Mushi glanced at the door.
"Where is he?"
It was the yelling that drew Shirong's attention, away from the possible smears of dried blood he'd found on a carpet seller's roof. Young, male,
"You bastard!"
and obviously fighting mad.
"Stop insulting my mother!"
That voice Shirong knew.
"Now what?"
"Is that your Li?" Yongsu, the agent slated to take over the search for him for the night, looked almost awake, which was about as interested as the man ever got in anything outside the mind-bending rooms under Lake Laogai.
"Hardly mine, but yes,"
Shirong acknowledged, peered down into the next alley where ice glittered around a furious body.
"And unless I missed my guess, that would be Jet."
"Come over here and fight like a man," the ragged teen yelled, pinned to a wall.
"Do I even have to answer that?"
Li stepped back, water flowing around one hand.
"Wake up! You can't win! You're not a freedom fighter here. You're a refugee just like the rest of us."
"No, wait, you're not. My uncle is a respectable tea shop worker. I'm a healer's apprentice. You're a troublemaker, Jet. The guard let you off with a warning once. I doubt you'll get a second chance."
His voice dropped, quiet and confident. "Go fight on the wall, Jet. If you have to hate, take it where it'll do some good."
"You think you can stand there and lecture me?" Jet demanded.
"I know what you are, murdering Fire Nation scum!"
Water cracked whip fast, a fine red line parting on Jet's cheek, welling tiny beads of crimson.
"So he's been working on the water whip as well," Shirong thought, satisfied.
"Good."
"For once in your life," Li said, low and cold.
"Think. If I'm murdering sadistic Fire Nation scum, scum that has you pinned and helpless, that knows exactly how to dismember you and leave the frozen pieces where only the scavenger lizard birds will find them, why are you still alive?"
Jet's jaw worked, but no sound came out.
"Goodbye." Turning on his heel, Li stalked off. Shirong smirked, watching Jet squirm fruitlessly in ice.
"The kid has style." "Should have killed him," Yunsu said disinterestedly. "I know the type. He's not going to shut up until he's dead or mind-bent."
Do you want me to take him in? Shirong said neutrally. Altering minds might be necessary, but he didn't exactly enjoy it. Not the way Yunsu's associates did.
No need.
Yunsu sounded almost amused.
Why waste a good setup?
Shirong inclined his head, acknowledging the truth of that. Spirits were drawn to those already touched by the spirit world. If the creature they were seeking was a predator, and it probably is, then if it wasn't stupid or arrogant enough to attack Lee himself, and it probably isn't, not while he's with people, the next best thing would be a human touched by Lee's bending. A pinned, helpless, angry young man, bent on disturbing the peace of Ba Sing Se.
Enjoy your night.
Yunsu waved as Shirong left.
No,
Shirong murmured once he was certain Yunsu wouldn't hear. Speaking of spirits and a troublemaker turned unwilling bait, and the young waterbender who might as well have put a merciful dagger through Jet's heart rather than leaving him as Kamui's prey.
No, I don't think I will.
You really put your foot in it this time, Jet, Smellerby grumbled, working with Longshot to chip their leader free. Or should that be former leader? Jet wasn't exactly taking charge the way he used to. Then again, maybe he was, but leading here wasn't like being in charge in the tree village. Grown-ups didn't listen to Jet. And given what he'd been doing, Smellerby was starting to wonder if she should either. She yawned and shook herself, prodded Longshot when the archer seemed dazed. This was no place to nap, not with Jet in trouble.
Too scared to finish me off. You must have guessed you guys would be behind me, Jet said confidently.
The next thing we should do is... Longshot flicked him in the forehead.
What was that for?
He's right, Smellerby growled. Lee was about as scared as Sokka was. Remember him? The kid who didn't want you to hurt an old guy?
That old man was Fire Nation.
So what? Smellerby burst out. And so what if Mushi is? He's making tea. That's all he does. All day. Who's that hurt, huh? Come on.
We don't let the Fire Nation win. We don't just leave them alone.
Jet's voice trailed off. Something seemed to whisper through the air, chill and tasting of salt. Smellerby traded a glance with Longshot and started chipping faster. She had one arm free, and Longshot had mostly broken Jet's legs loose, but the older boy didn't move. Instead, Jet seemed to cock his head, as if listening to something they couldn't hear.
Dad?
Jet's parents were dead. Smellerby knew this, the same as she knew about every one of the Freedom Fighters' lost ones. Just as she knew the wind somehow had a sound like waves lapping on the Great Lake, coming with the shadow suddenly at the mouth of the alley. A shadow that felt lonely and wrong. But Jet was straining towards it, breaking the last of the ice.
Get away! Smellerby yelled, and didn't care how shrill her voice was or how puny the knives felt in her hands.
Longshot was holding their struggling friend back, and she was all they had.
Get lost! You're not his father! Get out of here!
Something chuckled like seawater through rocks. Long, black, stretched out like an arm. A door slammed open.
Here now, what's all this noise?
The shadow drew closer.
Do I know you?
Grabbing Jet's arm, Smellerby ran and didn't look back.
You fell asleep, Quan said neutrally.
Yunsu dropped to his knees.
I have no excuse.
Studying traces left behind, Shirong tried not to glance at either of them. Quan was hard but fair.
I wouldn't say there's an excuse, but there may be a reason.
Quan crouched to look at drying bits of twisted brown, not touching them any more than Shirong had.
Seaweed? Smells like it,
Shirong nodded. Quan let out a slow breath.
Not good.
Now there was an understatement. All water spirits were unpredictable and tended towards extremes.
A river spirit, mild as milk towards its denizens, might be lethal as a typhoon to invaders. But of all the come we bound to water, those of the deep sea were the worst. At their mildest, they were uncaring. Those strong enough to put a trained Dai-Li to sleep? Well, I was right. We're dealing with a man-eater. Had to be. Nothing else would draw a sea spirit this far from the shore. Salt was scarce. Human lives were packed in like anchovies in the school off the eastern shore that boiled water with their bodies. Lonely, desperate people, half of whom didn't even believe in spirits. The balance of the world was upset, and Ba Sing Se was full of prey. Sometimes I hate my job, Shirong thought grimly. Has anyone talked to the waterbenders on the docks? They're not spirit-touched, but they are benders. They may have noticed something. They're gone, Quan said grimly. Gone? Shirong echoed uneasily, as Yunsu finally got to his feet. Not a trace of violence, Quan went on, eyeing seaweed as if it might burst into flames. Looks like they started vanishing a week ago. We have reports that some said they'd seen an old friend and had to go. Others, it's as if they just got up from whatever they were doing and walked away. Of course, they worked with fish. No one would notice a few water weeds. No, they wouldn't. Old friends, Shirong wondered. Shapeshifter? Probably. Quan didn't look happy at the thought, as well he shouldn't. It narrowed the field of possibilities considerably. But all those left were lethal. And a smart one, Shirong added half to himself. It knows what it's vulnerable to. Or who's vulnerable to it, Yunsu put in levelly. Water pulls both ways. Waterbenders. Shirong tried not to flinch. Sir, I have already placed a watch on Healer Amaya's clinic, Quan informed him, brows lifting slightly. Calm down. I don't think it's the healer he's worried about, Yunsu said dryly. He hasn't given us any oaths yet, Shirong. You shouldn't get attached.
I'm not, Shirong said sharply. I'm just worried. Li wasn't raised water tribe. If this is a spirit they'd know about, he'll have no idea how to protect himself. He glanced at Quan. And he's fairly good at spotting us. If we put a watch on him, he may notice and try to lose them. Which might run him straight into Akamwi's jaws.
So tell him not to, Quan said bluntly. If you think he can keep it to himself. The last thing we need is a panic while the Avatar's here.
Some bridge to the spirit world, Shirong muttered. Second outbreak of malicious spirits in as many weeks, and he hasn't noticed anything?
He's 12, Quan said dryly, and he's an airbender. The Grand Secretariat practically had to hit him over the head with a rock before he noticed you're not supposed to bother the Earth King with the world outside the walls. And he's a monk. If the stories are right, he was raised in a temple by people who prided themselves on being spiritually aware. There probably wasn't a malevolent Kamui within miles.
Point. Spiritual awareness was well and good, but you had to have something really try to kill you before you developed the spiritual sensitivity to know when something nasty wanted you for dinner.
Which is why we're not monks, Shirong thought wryly. Given this is now a larger search, sir, I'm reassigning agents to take it over, and we have the guard looking for Jet and his associates. Quan said matter-of-factly, work on your recruits. Brown eyes were shadowed. We need them now more than ever.
I don't usually bring swords to healing sessions, Zuko observed, following Shirong down through the earth-bent tunnel toward an open chamber of green glowing crystals.
A city under the city. Why am I not surprised?
Wait. There's water down here,
Zuko breathed, feeling it tug, cool without the touch of sun.
Quite a bit. That's why I want you armed, Shirong said plainly. As long as there's something out there, don't rely on just bending as your only defense.
I never have. Something? Zuko asked pointedly. Can't you be a little more specific?
If I could, we'd be halfway to catching it.
Shirong stopped, just outside an area of more crystals and stronger light.
Go to the left and stay out of sight. Unless someone gets overenthusiastic and needs your help, I'd prefer it if they had no idea you're here.
Zuko nodded once. You want to see who's paying attention to the Earth and not just their eyes. Smirking a little, Shirong stalked forward. Zuko waited a few breaths for Shirong to draw their attention, then eased into the cavern, sticking to the shadows cast by the odd half-light of the crystals. Hands tucked into his sleeves, he sat down to watch the mayhem, just another irregular lump on the cavern wall.
I think they missed me.
Not that that was such a great accomplishment. Between the crashes, the grating bent of rock, and the playful sparring assaults of various Daily agents, the young men in front of him probably would have missed a whole regiment marching through. A figure in the center caught his eye, narrowly dodging a flung rock glove.
Mean.
Damn. Given what Shirong had told him about something that might be eating waterbenders, this could make things tricky.
Just keep out of sight, Zuko told himself, surreptitiously heating his water skin.
Amaya had walked him through healing with water instead of fire, but it always seemed to drain him if the water wasn't warm. Decide on your story. Make it simple. Flesh moved slower than rock, and someone screamed.
Here we go. There's at least four who won't make the cut, Shirong thought, looking at those lined up against the wall, out of action.
More than four were injured. Some of those Lee was treating had real promise. They just needed a bit more vigorous training to learn when not to jump in front of flying rocks. And one of those Shirong had decided was out, hadn't a scratch on him. That young man just glared out of a body bind of rocks after he deliberately shoved one of the others into the path of a rising earth pillar.
The army can have that one, Shirong thought darkly.
If you couldn't trust one of your own to behave honorably in sparring, you definitely couldn't trust them against spirits.
What's this?
One of the possibilities standing still had just done a startled double take and was now marching towards Lee with mayhem in his eyes. What are you doing here? Min Wen hissed.
My job?
Unfazed, Lee finished sealing his patient's nasty gash, hints of color fading out of water as he bent it back into his water skin.
Looks like they're interested in you. Congratulations.
Min's eyes narrowed. Like you really mean that?
Bad blood between them? With all the time Lee spent at the Wen house? Why?
Casually, Shirong drifted closer. Lee sighed.
Yes, I do. If this is what you want to do with your life, good.
He looked into the distance. At least somebody's life came out the way they planned it. You shouldn't be here, Min said tauntly.
I'd say it's fortunate for you he is,
Shirong said levelly, snickering to himself as Min jumped.
Next up is partner work, and it looks like we're one short.
You want me to... Min caught the look in his eyes and swallowed the rest of his protest.
Yes, sir.
Lee looked equally dubious, if more relaxed.
Steel or bending?
One of the other survivors snorted. You think you can fight earthbenders with swords?
I've done it before.
Not a boast, not a trace of swagger, just a simple, level statement. Shirong hid a smirk, knowing more than half the young men here simply wouldn't believe it.
Their loss.
Min didn't look as if he doubted it, though.
Interesting. It's a spar, Shirong said plainly. No killing, no maiming. Outside of that, keep yourself and your partner in one piece.
He waved them toward the others and watched as Agent Bon picked the first set of pairs to compete. Begin.
Mean has no idea what he's doing.
Zuko grimaced, batting a flying rock away as he ducked. Oh, Mean knew earthbending. He wasn't too bad at sparring, either, though the whites of his eyes were getting a bit too visible for Zuko's comfort, and if his moves were any more predictable, you could have set a clock by them. Which was probably the only thing that had kept them in the game this long. Zuko could work around Mean, knowing where not to be. There wasn't any other option. Mean had no clue how to work with a partner. At least not one that's not an earthbender. Earth trembled near his feet. Zuko slipped sideways away from the opening rift, nudging Mean's shoulder with his own to warn him of an incoming threat. Mean flinched, and Earth roared. No! Reflex crossed blades in front of him to ward off his own partner's blow. He needed fire, needed a shield, but he couldn't. Water crashed down. Zuko held his breath through the wave, rising as it receded, some still lapping hungrily at his sandals. Mean was down, coughing, in no shape to defend himself. Their opponents hadn't been hit nearly as hard. They were damp and wary, but stamped their feet to yank up stones to punch wet stones. Zuko spun in place, sword slashing to swirl up waves as he would a storm of fire, lashing out, letting water call to water, thirsting for movement and surface creatures and life. Stone and water and bodies froze. I win. It wasn't over yet. They still breathed, and it'd take so, so little to surge water into gasping lungs and drain everything. No! Zuko shoved ice back into steaming water, dropping to his knees in formal surrender. Shirong! Shirong, it's here! Everyone, hold! The agent's voice snapped out before freed rocks could pummel him. Lee, where? Water yanked at him, cruel as the ocean in a surging typhoon. Enemies. He was surrounded by enemies. But the tide would carry him, strong and sure and forever. All he had to do was slip into the cold. No! Let go! Silent, mocking laughter. Cold and seawater and cruelty. And it had him, sure as a frozen riptide, pulling him under, sealing hope and heart away in ice. Don't think, just do. Eyes closed, Zuko let his Tao fall, brought his hands up before his mouth, remembering another lethal sea of ice, and breathed. Breath of fire. With luck, his hands would hide the tiny flames. Without, Zuko breathed again, fighting the chill in his blood. If this thing gets me, I'm dead anyway. In and out. Let Chi fan the flames inside to a bonfire. Something snapped, a chain of ice shattering. Zuko sagged, barely feeling rough stone gloves catch him. You're freezing. Shirong's voice was cold as any ambushed commander. Where is it? Water, Zuko managed, trying to turn toward that channel etched in stone. It's moving away. On it. Agent Bon said grimly, leading a green charge along the sides of the canal. Get the waterbender out of here. Zuko felt Shirong's nod, but didn't have time to flinch before he was pitched over the agent's shoulder. I can walk! Who's walking? Shirong's stance shifted, and earth shot up under them, rocks parting before them with a grinding moan. Sunlight. It blazed down Zuko's nerves, burning through ghosts of ice, searing away the strength of the sea's uncaring cruelty, unearthing worry and fear and the pain of having his family shattered. But it was his pain, not the alien thing that had ripped through him from the water, turning his ally into something that would have destroyed them all. Zuko clung to his scars and breathed. Reluctant footsteps. Is he gonna be all right? Mean wondered. Shirong raised a brow, accepting Lee's Tao from this teenager.
The healer himself was seated within grabbing range, closed eyes turned to the sun, meditating as if his life depended on it.
And it very well might. He's warmed up, and he's not wandering off to get eaten, the agent said practically. So far, those are good signs.
Wiping a rag down steel to dry it, he clicked the blades together.
I'm hoping he'll be coherent soon. Any clues we can get to the nature of this Kamui would help.
Though he suspected speed was no longer a factor, not when Bon and his men had come up empty-handed.
It's dark water, Lee rasped.
Xirong let out a relieved breath.
Are you all right?
Cold. Lee cleared his throat and opened tired eyes to glance around the little-used palace garden they'd surfaced in.
But it's gone. Doesn't like sunlight.
Xirong nodded, adding that to the scant list of what they knew about this creature.
What else?
Felt like the sea. Like staring down into deep water where nothing's alive, not even seaweed. Lee shuddered. The middle of the ocean, where there's no one to help, no one to care if you live or die. You're alone.
Is that how it's luring people?
Xirong asked levelly. Lee shrugged, hands spread. How the hell should I know?
It got me when I thought I was outnumbered.
When Min hit you, Xirong said bluntly,
and you thought you really were alone.
Hey, Min protested. He's the one who got caught by a spirit. What part of keep your partner in one piece did you not understand? Xirong said sharply. I wanted you working with Lee for a reason. He shook his head.
We didn't expect an attack, but we knew something might happen. Given your demonstrated level of skill, I thought you'd be the most capable partner Lee could have.
Silence. Min's gaze slid away, and he swallowed.
Angry and embarrassed, Xirong judged.
Good. You screwed up, Min. Learn from it.
It got me through the water, Lee said quietly. I was fine with my water skin, but when I was scared and reached out to the channel, sunless water, that's where it's strong. It tried to pull me under, inside, through my bending.
He drew deliberate breaths.
It wanted to drown everyone. It's hungry and cold, and it tried to use me, wrapping its power around mine.
Lee's voice trailed off, and he paled.
What?
Xirong asked, alert to danger.
That's what he did.
Lee's fist clenched, rage glittering in fire-green eyes. That's what he did. That's why they died. The punch to unsuspecting ground didn't shock Xirong, though the amount of dust raised took him aback. Yet even that didn't give him nearly as much pause as the occasional crackling words in Lee's sudden stream of curses. A litany of odd, sea-touched, foul language that almost made him want to cover Min's innocent ears.
Oh my. A waterbender who curses with Fire Nation High Court arcanisms, half of which Xirong didn't recognize, despite his study of that people's odd second language. You're lucky I already know what you are.
Parents probably got drunk on a moonless night! Xirong's brows climbed.
Back up,
he mouthed at Min, waving a warning hand to be sure the teenager got the message. The Fire Nation teen took lineage seriously. For Lee to be implying that he was...
Oh my, indeed. You've seen this before, he said neutrally.
Lee's fist hit the ground again, knuckles bone white, anger rising off him in a heat haze. But he stared into the distance, jaw clenched, hulling in his runaway temper like an anchor chain.
Something like it. Once.
Green eyes closed, conjuring up painful memory. A waterbender wanted to hurt the Fire Nation. He let a spirit take him over. The ships... Those men had no warning, no chance. They were Fire Nation, Min growled.
Bad call, Xirong winced.
They were people, Lee blazed. When the Dragon of the West broke through the outer wall, he let people surrender. This thing, he swallowed and went on, voice thick with horror. You look into the water and all you see is broken ships and broken men, and you can't help them. You can't help anyone. He's on the edge. Pull him back. Kneeling by the healer, Shirong put a hand on his shoulder. It's over, he said quietly. You're alive, and you can help us, Lee. If something like that is loose here, we need all the help we can get. But if we could turn it against, Mean started. Don't even breathe that, Shirong said coldly, boring into the teen's gaze with his own, until Mean paled. In fact, you're going to forget this conversation ever happened. Or you will forget it ever happened. Am I clear? Yes, sir. But Mean still looked unconvinced. He doesn't understand. Anger was fading from Lee's voice, swamped by exhaustion. Guess they don't teach the laws of war at the university. Like war has any laws, Mean snorted. Actually, it does, Shirong informed him dryly. Leave it to the Fire Nation to write them down and hold to them, mostly. The one Lee's thinking of, the most basic, is the reason it would be suicide for Ba Sing Se to do what you're suggesting. It's called the Law of Reprisal. He raised a brow. In short, don't do to others what you don't want blasted right back in your face. Humans don't get spirits involved in our wars, Lee said bluntly. Spirits aren't human. They don't recognize honorable surrender, and they're supposed to leave us alone to go on with our lives. Mostly. And if we dishonor them, they're supposed to go after the humans who broke the rules. Those people, specifically. His voice dropped. Not that they've been holding up their side lately. The definition of broke the rules can be very flexible for malevolent Kamui, Shirong said dryly. In essence, Min, the Fire Nation must not know what happened, or there'd be nothing but ice and ash where the North Pole used to be. If they ever do find out, given they're probably not insane enough to pull the same kind of stunt with a fire spirit, this waterbender's action would force the Fire Nation to treat every waterbender as if he might do the exact same thing. Which means the water tribes die, Lee said flatly. Though maybe you think that's a good thing. Take some pressure off the Earth Kingdom for a while. Mean, Shirong was grimly pleased to note, looked practically gray. But they were defending themselves. How the hell do you know that? Lee said harshly. You weren't there. But you were, Shirong reflected. What happened? When? Why haven't we heard of it? And why did he have a sense of holding puzzle pieces and just not recognizing their edges? The Water Tribes got lucky, Lee said, half to himself. The Fire Nation's already looking for that waterbender. Hard. He glanced at Shirong. If that thing pulls me in and I can't get out, we'll do what has to be done. Lee nodded, accepting that grim promise. Which is another thing you should consider before you think of spirits as weapons. Shirong eyed Mean. The Kamui we're hunting would have killed us all. How many of the water tribes were destroyed because of what they unleashed? Spirit or fire, dead's dead, Mean objected. But he didn't sound quite as certain. Oh, no, Shirong said, deadly calm. No, Mean, if you want to be Dai Li, learn this. Learn it well. There are worse fates than death. Much, much worse. That gave the boy pause for thought. I hope it lasts, Shirong reflected, snaring a palace servant to escort Mean out. He's got potential, but if he can't think of the consequences... The agent sighed. Lee, he was slightly amused to note, was still sitting in the sunlight, breathing. That's a firebending meditation, isn't it?
Lee glanced at him, and away. It helps. It doesn't like fire, Shirong nodded, adding that fact to the rest, and tried not to shiver. Haima Jiao. What? Assuming the worst, that's what we might be dealing with. Shirong frowned. There's not much in the archives about them. They're sea spirits, and usually were too far inland to draw them. But in the time of Qin the Conqueror, one supposedly followed a trail of shipwrecks up to the lakes. They're shapeshifters, predators. Usually they pick off people lost or stranded on the shore or already drowning. And they hate sunlight and fire. Think I'm gonna burn lamps around Amaya's well, Lee said, half to himself. Couldn't hurt, Shirong acknowledged, paused, and gave the younger man a deliberate look. Who's the waterbender? Lee hesitated. Odd. Don't tell me he's a relative. No! Lee looked horrified by the thought and wearily resigned. No, it's just, you'd never believe me. His voice dropped. No one would. I wouldn't. Why wouldn't I? Puzzle pieces clattered into place, and Shirong looked at his chain of conclusions with dread. A waterbender the Fire Nation was already searching for. A waterbender they're already prepared to throw armies against to destroy. A waterbender Lee doesn't think anyone will believe something so horrible of. A waterbender we welcomed into the Inner Ring itself because he destroyed the Fire Navy. The Avatar. He's supposed to be the bridge to the spirit world, to enforce balance between the nations, to protect humans. He's not supposed to let the spirits use him, ever. Yet if he believed Lee, and Shirong did believe Lee, the Avatar had done just that. And he's in my city, being kept in my city. What the hell do I do? First things first. We'll get you home. Lee shook his head, eyes sad. The clinic. Uncle, he's not going to be home yet. Grief, Shirong realized. You've lost someone. Hasn't everyone? Point. The clinic, then. I believe you have something there I need returned. Lee tensed, then deliberately made his face calm. Master Amaya and I found the scroll very useful. You think I'm just going to take it? Whoever had you in their keeping before your uncle, they treated you shabbily indeed. Come with me. Through doors and down corridors, some public, others most definitely not. Those Dai Li lucky enough to have families lived elsewhere. For most, though, barracks under the palace close to their king were good enough. But barracks weren't the only rooms down here. Shirong led Li into one of the archives and stepped aside to see the look on his face. Surprise. Wonder. As Li took in the end caps of blue, green, red, and orange. The whole room should have been lit from the force of it. These are all... Avatar Kyoshi left us very well prepared for our duties. Shirong smiled in satisfaction. And we've expanded our library since. Li smirked, muttering something under his breath that sounded like pirates. Looking over shelves of scrolls with fierce longing. Have you copied these? Interesting question, particularly given he deliberately loaned Lee one of the older scrolls. Why do you ask? You should make caches. At least 3 or 4, some outside the city. Lee gave him a sober look. This is the greatest treasure in Ba Sing Se. It shouldn't be lost if something goes wrong. Shirong laughed once, softly. Another part of the puzzle becoming clear in the face of that hunger to know. You're not at the Wen House for Mean at all, are you? You've been seeing Professor Tingche. I like history. Lee's smile was quiet. It's not like I can afford the university. He's been giving me lessons, and I've been teaching Jinhai. Damn. Shirong gave him a hard look. Jinhai's a waterbender. Li grimaced, accepting the rebuke. I didn't want to tell you earlier. I didn't want word to get out to people I don't know. The whole family's upset, especially Mean. He thought Jinhai would get him kicked out of being recruited, and the university...
If they knew, the family would be in for hard times,
Shirong acknowledged.
But you know the boy's in danger.
They don't have a well. Jinhai's six and not allowed out after dark, and he bends with hot water, Li said frankly. He's probably safer than I am. He's never been marked by the spirits, and Suyin would shove a flaming spear right down the bastard's throat. Reasonable arguments. Still.
Next time, tell me there's something I need to know. We almost lost you, remember?
You're right, Li acknowledged quietly. Sorry, I screw up when I get surprised. And being told there was another waterbender eating spirit out there was definitely a surprise. Fair enough.
Think it through next time.
Shirong let himself smile slightly.
As for caches, I imagine you're not familiar with earthbending printers, where you're from.
He waited, watching.
Exact copies,
Li realized. As close as you can bend it to what you see. And if you can make print blocks. Delight bloomed in green eyes.
We've done a lot more than make a few caches,
Shirong agreed dryly.
If you think you're leaving here empty-handed while there's a lethal Kamui out there, you're out of your mind.
Though one thing still bothered the agent, as Li almost smiled.
What the hell were you doing at the North Pole?
I made dinner, Uncle Mushi. Setting down his traveling box and hat, Iroh nodded.
So, we are being observed more closely than normal.
He'd thought he suspected a few shadows on nearby roofs.
I appreciate that, nephew.
I miss him too.
I know you do.
Iroh smiled sadly, moved in for a fragile hug.
I know you do.
He looked up into worried eyes.
What has happened?
It's not... Zuko saw the look in his eyes and winced.
Something tried to make me kill people.
Hai Ma Jiao, Iroh said thoughtfully, sometime later, after a stumbling explanation and a slightly scorched dinner.
The Lurer. Yes, I have heard of them.
He frowned, stroking his beard.
It must have come up from Chameleon Bay. The western route would be far too chill.
But it's dark water, Zuko objected.
A spirit of ocean's darkness, yes,
Iroh nodded.
But if the tales are true, its chill is not that of ice, but of an emptiness of life. It is a spirit of the deserts of the sea, of warm water, warm oceans that lack the rich bounty of the poles and flowing currents. The Hai Ma Jiao lairs beyond the sun's touch, ever hungering for what it cannot have. But when that great fire retreats, it looks upon the shores, and it hates.
He nodded, recalling texts studied years ago.
Fire is its enemy. Fire and family. It promises an end to pain, but the end it means is eternal.
It lies, nephew. Never forget that.
I knew it had to be, but...
Zuko swallowed. I didn't know spirits could do that.
Most cannot, Iroh assured him. Which is why Agent Shirong is, unfortunately for us all, likely to be right. A Hai Ma Jiao would have the power to twist water against you.
He sighed.
Most spirits do not have that power. And most benders, even those touched by the spirits... are not powerful enough to be so vulnerable.
I'm not powerful.
How little you know. You have the determination to drive flesh and bone beyond where others fail and perish.
Iroh said bluntly, your will is stronger than your body. He smiled wryly.
Usually, this is an advantage.
Perfect. Zuko grumbled. So how do I fight this thing?
Salt's only gonna make it laugh.
With fire and with family, Zuko said firmly. He gripped the young man's shoulder. You are never alone, nephew. There are those who love you and wish you well, and they are not only myself and Master Amaya. Huojin, Luli, Tingche, Mei Shang, even young Suyin and Jinhai. They care. Even if I were lost, they would take you in.
Zuko did not look convinced.
I suppose I cannot blame him. He does not know some of them know the truth. And while we are watched, I cannot tell him.
But the young man sighed and tried to push his doubts aside.
I miss him too, Zuko said quietly. And I don't know if today is a good day to tell you this, but when I drowned...
Ping thinks Lu Ten is cute.
Close to death was close to the spirit world.
Tell me, Iroh said gently. Tell me everything.